Okay, right now I want everyone to put on their thinking caps because I'm going to ask you some questions. Do you think poinsettias are poisonous, or that sugar makes children hyperactive, or that you should always wear a hat because most of your body heat is lost from your head? Are these medical myths or realities? Joining us now is Dr. Rachel Vreeman, an assistant professor of pediatrics and the Indiana University at the Indiana University of Medicine. She joins us now with some answers that she came up with when she wrote about it in a current British Medical Journal article. Good morning and welcome, Dr. Vreeman.
Thank you so much.
So I'm not losing heat if I don't have a hat on? It's not going out through my head?
Well, you are losing some heat through your head, but you're not losing more than you would lose from any other part of your body that was uncovered. Any uncovered part of the body loses heat and will drop your core body temperature, but there's nothing special about the head. If you left your arm uncovered or part of your leg uncovered, you would lose just as much heat through that.
My head is special.
So why have our moms and dads and teachers been telling us for decades that we need to always have our hat on? Where in the world did that come from?
Well, one of the places it came from may have been an old military study where scientists put subjects in Arctic survival suits where everything was covered up except for their heads. And so because they didn't have hats on, they were losing most heat through their heads. And it's the same when we go out into the cold. Often our heads are the only things that we leave uncovered. And so you are losing heat through your head. But again, there's nothing special about the head. If you went out with a hat, but inappropriate clothing otherwise,
like
you
no
lose
socks,
just as much heat. Exactly, no socks or shorts or something like that.
Okay, let's move on to sugar, because we were all shaking our head over this one. We've seen it. I think all of us would swear to it. We've seen a child eat a candy bar and just start running around like superheroes. That's not true. Sugar doesn't cause hyperactivity.
It's not true. And as a pediatrician and someone surrounded by children, I hear this all the time. But it's just not true. In fact, sugar has been studied more than a lot of serious drugs. There are at least 12 great studies, double-blinded, randomized controlled trials, the kinds of studies that we would love to see for every medication we're using. And in all of these studies, children did not react any differently if they had had a lot of sugar. Even sugar from candy, sugar from chocolate, sugar from natural sources. The studies just all say that sugar doesn't make kids hyperactive.
So it's our lying eyes that tell us that?
That's probably some of it. In fact, a study has been done where they tested that part out. They gave all of the children a sugar-free beverage, but they lied to half of the parents and told those parents that their children had had sugar. And if the parents thought the child had had sugar, they said that the child was behaving worse, even if an objective observer saw no such thing.
So there's a lot of delusional parents out there, in other words. Is that what you came here this morning to tell us?
No. I mean, I think it makes sense, you know, that we believe this because sugar does give our bodies energy. But I think the other thing that's going on is often the occasions where children have sugar or have more of this have other things that might be affecting their behavior. It might be a holiday, staying up late, surrounded by lots of other kids at a party, and even just the special occasion of getting to have sugar.
What inspired you and your co-author to take a look at some of these conventions that you have decided after doing some research are really myths?
Well, as physicians and as scientists, we like to ask why, and we like to know what the truth is behind the things that we're recommending or the treatments we're using and so on. And this is really just us applying our same methods of research and scientific investigation to some commonly held beliefs or myths about our body so that we can remind people in a lighthearted way that we need to think about what the evidence is behind the things that we say, behind the things that we suggest to patients, and probably for some of the more serious things that we recommend as well.
So really, you're just trying to catch scientists in the act. But since we're around the holiday times, quickly tell us about turkey. We've always heard that turkey makes us sleepy, or that get those poinsettias away from dogs or children because they're really poisonous. How about those two?
Well, the thing that's to blame in turkey, in most people's minds, is the tryptophan. And turkey does contain tryptophan, but the key is it doesn't contain any more than other types of meat. Ground beef and chicken have exactly the same amounts. And other types of meat, like ham, for example, actually has more tryptophan per gram. But you don't hear ham being blamed for making people sleepy.
However, we have no excuse now after we've stuffed ourselves on the holidays with turkey to say, oh, I got to go take a nap. I need a nap.
You do actually have one excuse in that large meals and alcohol have been shown to make people sleepy quite definitively in scientific studies. So it absolutely could be that. It's just not the turkey that's to blame.
Poinsettias.
Poinsettias get a bad rap too, but again, there's just not the evidence to support that. In fact, the biggest study we could find looked at all of the case reports to the American Association of Poison Control Centers over a period of time. There were almost 23,000 cases in which people had ingested poinsettias, and yet there was no sign of real toxicity. Certainly no one died, and most didn't even have to go to the doctor. Now, we wouldn't recommend eating them. Apparently, they taste horrible, but it's very unlikely that they would cause any significant problem.
All right, Dr. Rachel Mythbuster Freeman, that's what we're going to call you here at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Dr. Rachel Freeman is an assistant professor of pediatrics at the Indiana University School of Medicine and a co-author of an article about medical conventions that are really myths, in her opinion, and her co-authors. And it's currently in the British Medical Journal.
Jeez, now you didn't even get to Sasquatch.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.